All right. So I'm going to refer to my list again. There it is again. The list is going to hold the key. It's telling me now I'm going to refer to my list. And it basically gives you a paragraph on what you're going to look at and what you're going to put on paper. Now I'm going to shorten it up for you so that you do mental, figure it out, people. Don't have to do that, okay? You're going to put at the top of your fourth column what I don't like about myself, what I don't like about my conduct, my actions, and my thoughts on what I wrote in column two. So you don't have, I'm not going to read you what this says right away, because later you can definitely put the labels on this. But I will, maybe I'll read it. Here it says, referring to my list, putting out of the mind whatever I thought or what was doing or the pandemic or whatever the wrongs were, I'm going to look at my own mistakes here. See? I'm going to look at me. Where have I been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Though the situation in regard to the pandemic isn't entirely my fault, I try to disregard the whole thing involved entirely. Where am I to blame here? The inventory is mine, not others. When I see my faults, it tells me I'm going to list them. It doesn't say list and fix. It just says you're going to list your faults. Okay? I'm going to place it before me in black and white in case you didn't hear that we're going to list, and that means a piece of paper and a pencil tells you it's going to be in black and white. All you're going to do is just write this down. That's the only thing you have to do here. It's really very simple. It's not you don't have to fix any of this. You just have to admit it and write it down. That's it. I admitted my wrongs honestly and willing to set them straight. All right. So this is what I list that I didn't like about myself when I listed those things about going out, not being able to travel, etc. I didn't like, this is me, it's like I'm a fly on the wall looking at what Mary Thayer's been doing since the pandemic. And I didn't like that I was aware I was holding my breath. That was one of the first things that I realized I didn't like. It was like when this pandemic started, it was like every day I would wake up and kind of look, because now I can get back to doing what I'm doing. I didn't realize that I was holding my breath, that I was waiting for this thing to shift so we can get back to doing what we want to do. You know, I've had other problems in my life where I've had to maintain to walk slowly with purpose. And I've been able to do that. I've done that. But this wasn't letting up. And I needed to breathe, and I had to, and I didn't like this. So I was aware I was holding my breath. I was aware I was complaining every day. My God, people call me up. I mean, who wants to listen to that all the time? I didn't like that about myself. I didn't like how I was consistently talking about how inconvenient this is. This is so inconvenient. I didn't like that I realized I had this attitude of entitlement to do what I want when I want to. I should be able to do this, travel. I just didn't like this attitude I had. I didn't like daily facing the reality that this might not change, that I might be the one that has to change. I didn't like that this was happening at all. I didn't like facing reality. I didn't like facing what is. That I had this, I was self-deluded to believe, I hate facing the fact that I think I'm in control. Do you know that? I couldn't stand that about me, thinking I was in control. It was like an illusion was shattered each day. My God, you're not in control. You don't know where you're going to live. You don't know what's going to happen. I didn't like that my health was compromised. I didn't want to accept that reality, that I'm a person, you know, of age, and that I have lung problems. I didn't like that. I didn't like how I tried to ignore it. I didn't like how I tried to believe that I can still do this or that or whatever. I just didn't like it. I didn't like my laziness or my procrastination. Without a goal where you don't have to go anywhere, I would just, well, I don't have to make the bed today. Who cares? You know, I don't have to do the dishes. I'll do them tomorrow. I don't have to clean. First of all, I don't have to clean because I have that Eufy, that little wonderful robot vacuum. It's wonderful. Do you know that? So I just really just let that, you know, I can sit and play a game. I don't have to do it. I don't like that part of me that does that, that just kind of gives up, becomes like a victim to stuff. I don't like being a victim. I didn't like the myriad of emotions that would surface. Not that I don't have emotions, but how many times I was inconvenienced and how it, I seemed to be demonstrating more frustration. I didn't like that about myself. More, I was very sensitive, became very sensitive to whatever was happening. I was abrupt with my responses. I was very short-tempered. I became defensive. I didn't like that about myself. I didn't like creating stories on why I'm right and you're wrong. I didn't like the idea I had to adjust to this Zoom meetings, these technical things. I just didn't like it. I didn't like the fact that I was closed-minded, non-teachable. So I just listed that. I didn't like that I was I didn't like prioritizing my time. I don't like being on a schedule. I'm very spontaneous. So I didn't like that in order to visit with someone, I had to create a place where we were distanced, that we had to wear, oh my God, all the stuff you have to do. I've had a couple of visits from sponsees. I didn't like the fact that I had to make sure they were safe type thing. One time I had a friend come and she really had been, I don't know if she had it. She didn't know if she had it. So we couldn't really be together. Next time she came, she quarantined herself and lived in her van before she came here. So we were able to be, give each other a hug. But it was like, I didn't like all that. These were the things that I didn't like about this thing. And no spontaneity and having to actually my angst about having to find new social skills. Mm-hmm. So that's what I wrote. That's all I wrote in this thing. Now, what that thing said is I listed where I was selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened. I don't go with that angle first. I go what I didn't like about myself. I can put on here a label of this being every single one of those things, self-centered, selfish. You see what I mean? But I want to know how Mary Thayer manifests. What's my pattern of being selfish and self-centered? I don't have in here other things which I could add to this list, I'm sure, such as gossiping about everything. They're doing it wrong. I don't like that when I do those things. Those are things that I write down in this column. So that's all you have to do. All right. I'll just look at what you wrote in your second column, you know, and then say, why do I do that? Because I don't like this. I don't like this. And that's why I do what I do. And when this is happening, these things that I'm talking about are defects in my character. All right. They're also my survival skills. See, I lightened it up a little bit. I've used these for years to justify why I'm okay and build a story around why I'm okay. So that for a long time, this is as far as I got with the fourth step. Do you know that? Which is fine. I confessed that I'm naughty and I do these bad things. But it wasn't a fearless moral inventory. And it wasn't until I got to the next two columns. I'm sorry, folks, there's more. And I'm going to show you where they are in the book. That opened me up to understand how maybe I could get life without finding out what my morals and values are is like crossing a footbridge without any railings. When I come out of a fourth step, I have a set of principles and values that are mine that are like railings on that footbridge that I can work with for the rest of my steps, all right? So how I found them was this. I'm just going to continue to read. Are you following me so far, folks? You got it so far? good. All right. So on the bottom of page 67, after it says that we listed these things in black and white, it says, notice the word fear is bracketed alongside the difficulties with Mr. Brown, Mrs. Jones, the employer, and the wife. So I was reading this, just the black lines, and I decided I would notice the word fear. And sure enough, I turned back to page 65. In the third column, it says, sex relationships, self-esteem, fear is bracketed. Sex relationships, self, it lists those things that were interfered with. And it has a little word fear bracketed alongside of it. And as I was pondering this one day, I thought to myself, why didn't they just put this paragraph right after this demonstration? Why do I have to turn the page? You see, bratty little person pondering these things. And then all of a sudden I realized as I looked, it said, putting out of the minds everything that I'd written before, this was about me. I realized, oh, this fear is something to do with me now, with this pandemic that I'm writing about. This is still inventory. And then I read on and it said, this fear, this short word, somehow touches every aspect of my life. It's an evil corroding thread. The fabric of my existence is shot through with it. Fear. It has set in motion trains of circumstance which have brought me misfortune I felt I didn't deserve. But did not I, myself, set the ball rolling? Sometimes I think fear ought to be classified with stealing. It seems to cause more trouble. So it says, I reviewed my fears thoroughly. I put them on paper. Here it is again. I have to write something, my fears. And for a long time when I did this, I used to think it meant, oh, I list my fears. I'm afraid of flying, which would be accurate. Maybe I should have put that on one of the reasons I don't like. I can't fly. Would have been a good one, you know. And it wouldn't be the same fear. It would be the fear that I can't come and visit you people because of the COVID, you know, type thing. But I used to think it was like snakes or I'm afraid of a bumblebee or something like that. I didn't understand that I'm not inventorying snakes and bumblebees. I'm inventorying the pandemic. And remember, it says the list holds the key. So I just made a list, didn't I, of what I didn't like about myself. I will tell you that fear has motivated what I don't like about myself. So when you write your fifth column, write the word fear, and then write the word why, W-H-Y, with a question mark. So I want to look at these things I've just said to you or that I don't like about myself, that I'm holding my breath. Why do I hold my breath? Because I'm afraid I don't know what's happening. See what I mean? I'm afraid of not knowing the answer, the outcome. So I just write that down. I'm afraid of not being safe. I wrote that down, not being safe. That's why I complain. You know, I'm afraid of the health. I'm afraid of not being safe. I'm afraid. And I'm also afraid of making a mistake if I don't know. I'm afraid I might make a mistake. I'm afraid, these are my fears from because of that column that I just told you about my illusions and who I am and, you know, being all this stuff. I'm afraid making a mistake. I'm afraid that I'll make a mistake and it might affect me and it might affect you if I make a mistake. I'm afraid the pandemic will not end. I'm afraid of being alone. I'm afraid of getting sick with the COVID. I'm afraid a hurricane will come and I'll lose my home. I'm afraid I won't have any place to live. And if I do evacuate, where am I going to go with my two cats? Where am I going to go? If you live in this community, I only have one cat, by the way. You're only allowed one. I lie, okay? Don't pass the word. This is, remember, confidentiality here. Anyway, I'm afraid people will find out I have two cats, right? I'm afraid why I don't like this reality. I'm constantly aware of processing grief. Now, I'm a grief counselor. I'm afraid that I will start repressing my grief, that I won't be, especially there's two phases of grief. One is depression and one is anger. I don't want to push that down, because if I push that down, it's going to come out at you. Now, I know how to do grief, but because the whole world is grieving, it's a heaviness that goes on. Where I don't like my heaviness. I don't like that process in the grief of not being able to catch my breath, of daily trudging with some of the stuff. I don't like it. I don't like the fact I'm afraid of this stock market crashes. I'm afraid of my family getting sick. I'm afraid if they get sick, of not being able to be with them. I'm afraid that if I get sick, there'll be nobody with me. I'm afraid of not being able to care for myself. I'm afraid of dying, and I'm afraid of being alone. Now, those are my current fears with this, just this pandemic, all right? Now, if I was with my sponsor, she'd why those down further. And this is what she would say to me. Okay, so now you're sick with the COVID. Then what happens? Well, then I get depressed. And then I'm afraid that I'll be alone. What happens? You're alone and depressed. Then what will happen? Well, I might drink. Okay, so now you're drinking alone, afraid. Then what happens? And I say, well, then I die. Or I become the bag lady. I'm always the bag lady. For some reason, I'm the bag lady. Afraid of that. Okay, so now you're the bag lady. You're out on the street. You're dying of COVID. Then what happens? I die. And she said, okay, so now you're dead. And then what happens? I say, nothing. She said, oh, no God? Hear that. I can why any one of you people down to the fact that you really don't believe there's a God in a pandemic, if you were doing this, or in whatever area you're doing it. Your fears will tell you that you have to do this reactionary process because you're frightened. Fear is an evil corroding thread. Remember, fear, evil. What does that mean? I heard a long timer say it 1,000 years ago. I was in my first 5 years. He said, if there's a higher power, there's a lower power. I thought to myself, what do you mean a lower power? Until I ran across where it says fear, an evil corroding thread. Doesn't that sound like a lower power? Sounds like one to me. And it shot through me. I actually probably am more familiar with the lower power than I am with faith. So it's very important to know what you're afraid of. All you have to do is list it. You don't have to do anything else. Just have to list it. Just keep asking yourself, why are you so frustrated? Why are you so sensitive? Why are you so abrupt? There's a fear behind it. Any defect in your character you're going to find is a fear behind it. So all you have to do is list them. And so then I'm going to give you some hope. I'm about ready to give you some hope, folks. Okay? This is heavy. But then what happens after you list the fears, put them in black and white? My book tells me what's next. It says, I put them in paper, even though I didn't have a resentment against them. Whatever. I just asked myself, why do I have these fears? And here's the kicker for emotional sobriety, folks. Wasn't it because my self-reliance had failed me? Self-reliance is good as far as it goes, but it doesn't go far enough. Sometimes I have great self-confidence, but it doesn't fully solve my fear problem or any other. And when it made me cocky, it's even worse. So it says, this is wonderful. Perhaps there's a better way. We think so. Oh my God, thank God that line is in the book. And it says there's a better way. Because you see, now I'm going to push you all the way back to that second and third step. Because it says now I'm on a different basis. I'm on the basis of trusting and relying upon my pal, the God that I feel is a best friend. Okay. I'm on that basis.
Fine. You can't come up here.
My kitty talking to me. And I talk to the kitty. So I'm relying on my best friend. I trust my infinite best friend rather than my finite self. Just to the extent that I do as I think my best friend would have me and humbly rely on that presence, will he match, enable me to match my calamity with serenity? So this calamity with whatever problem you're inventorying, you can get serenity. And it tells me right away, I'm not going to apologize to any of you people for depending on that energy. In fact, I laugh at those who think spirituality, the way of weakness, paradoxically is the way of strength. The verdict of the ages is that faith means courage. All people of faith have courage. They trust their God. They don't apologize for their God. Instead, now here it is, instead they let that energy demonstrate through them what he can do. Remember the end of the third step prayer when we said, take away my difficulties so that I can bear witness to those I help of God's life in me. It was what Ebby had in him. It's what I saw in my sponsors. It's what I've seen in many of you people, that there is a presence that works through you. And it's deep down within and it's shining through. You'll see it with people. You'll see it as you walk in. When you come into a meeting, you'll all of a sudden feel safe and protected. When you're with somebody, there's an energy that comes. And you can get this, all right? You're going to ask God, you're going to ask this presence, you're going to ask your best friend to remove these fears. Now I'm going to ask God to remove these fears I just listed and direct my attention to what he would have me be. Promise, at once I'm going to commence to outgrow fear. Okay, this does not say to list. This is my interpretation, folks, but it's the most important part that you're going to do. If you just listed those fears, you know that you're fearful. You're being motivated by fear. You're not being motivated by faith or by God. So what I'm going to ask you to do in this writing is to ask yourself this, is to say, I never did this. I remember I read it and I said, I've never asked you to remove these fears. And I've never asked you what I'm supposed to be. And for whatever reason that day, I sat down and I said, God, if I wasn't being so fearful, if you could remove this fear, what would you have me be? This is your sixth column, folks. Write six, write the word B-E-B, capital B. What does God want you to be? If I wasn't being fearful, what would I be? Now I'm going to tell you what I sat in meditation and did. And this is what I think God wants me to be if I'm not being fearful. I would be trusting God. I'd be teachable. I'd be willing. I'd be curious. I'd be open-minded. I'd be loving. I'd be kind. I'd be patient. If I'm not fearful and I had faith, I'd be patient and tolerant. I'd be understanding. I'd be discerning. I'd be risking. And I'd be ready. I'd be lighthearted. I'd be sensible. I'd be tactful. I'd be considerate. I'd be humble. I'd be authentic. I'd be honest. I'd be accepting and open. I'd be awake and I'd be surrendered. Now I sat with God as I wrote this. I did it exactly as I've read it to you. I sat and I said, God, what would you have me be? And when I listed this stuff and looked at what God would have me be, I realize, and I know this because this is how I do my work, I realize that everything I listed in column four on what I didn't like about myself was going against every one of these values and principles on what God would have me be. See, these are my morals that I'm supposed to be living by in this pandemic, not those fears of being sick. I'd be trusting if I'm sick, something's going to happen, you know? Lo and behold, where am I going to live? The woman down the way, four houses from here. She's a snowbird. I went over to her. I said, when you leave, can I stay in your place? My daughter's taking my. She said, sure. I didn't even lose this view, folks. I thought I would rent it from her. She said, oh, just pay the electricity. These things are renting high, let me tell you. Pocketbook was taken care of and everything else. All I did is trust. All I did is risk. See? Principles. I lived those two principles. Bingo. God was there. It was just that easy. Instead of worrying and gnarring, complaining, I just, I risk. What do you got to lose? You can go find out. So I want you to see that when I'm coming out of this inventory, I'm coming out with a set of values and principles on how to live in the pandemic. Okay? Now, there's one more column. I know you hate this, but it'll help. Let me tell you, it will help. On page 69 of the big book, if you read where you're going to review your sex life, you know, sex relations, doesn't make any difference. I incorporate this paragraph, all of this in paragraph, into my fourth column, what I don't like about myself. Okay. If it was something to do with a significant other, I would be looking at my conduct sexually, intimately, whatever, and how that was being blocked. So, but I'm going to read it, okay? Because you can do it separately if you want. I don't care. But I'm not talking about that on this inventory, but I'll read it here. I'm going to review my conduct over the years past. Where have I been selfish, dishonest, and inconsiderate? Whom have I hurt? That's almost the same thing as we read on page 67, isn't it? Where have I been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? It's almost the same thing. So I realize this is in sex, too. You know. Whom have I hurt? Did I unjustifiably arouse jealousy, suspicion, or bitterness? You know, I can see how I had that arise just from where I lived during the pandemic. Jealousy, suspicion, you know, I have a lot of things. A lot of, you know, you live in an old people community, they're all suspicious. So you got to watch out. So, but, you know, in other words, people probably weren't too happy that I didn't leave the park for all I know. Anyways, it doesn't make any difference. And so here we are. So where, you know, whom had I hurt? And it says, where have I been at fault? So you remember? So, but it has one more thing that isn't on page 67, and this is the title of your seventh column. What should I have done instead with this pandemic? What should I have done instead? Now, we don't have to worry a whole bunch. Just look at what you wrote on what God would have you be. If God wants me to be trusting, teachable, willing, curious, open-minded, loving, kind, patient, tolerant, understanding, discerning, risking, ready, lighthearted, sensitive, all of these things I just listed on what God would have me be. If I was being these, if I had the power to be this, what would I be doing instead? Now, this is going to mold, as it says here, whatever my ideal turns out to be. It says, wait a minute, I'm sorry, I jumped it here. In this way, I'm going to try to shape a sane and sound ideal for my future pandemic life. All right? See? I'm going to ask God to mold my ideals and to help me to live up to them. So this is what I would do instead if I was given the gift of these values of trusting, teachable, willing, etc. I would be journaling and writing. I would be praying. I'd be meditating. I'd be applying these steps. I would be sharing these things. I would be allowing others to be in their own process as they're going through this pandemic. I would be offering help if asked. If asked. I would not be expecting any conclusions. I would show up, tell the truth. What is it? Show up. I'm sorry.
Pay attention.
Pay attention. Thank you. Show up, pay attention, tell the truth, and not be attached to the outcome. See, these sponsees listen after a while. They very good. Good girl. Okay. So I would be really just paying attention. I would be focusing on this day. I would be staying where my feet are. I would not be worrying about next month. All right? I would just stay where my feet are. Thank God we know how to do a day at a time. I would be asking God to guide my thoughts and words and deeds. I'd be laughing. I'd be pausing before responding. If I was able to be authentic, honest, accepting, awake, and surrendered, I would not, I'd be awake and not believing the story I have made up to justify a defect in my character. Okay? I would have what was called a daily reprieve. I would be doing it daily. I would not be doing it once. And our book tells us that we have a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. One of my sponsees went to some meeting this week and she got the definition of reprieve. And she told me the person said, reprieve means postponement of death. Thank you, Heather. You do very good on bringing me little things. I looked it up too, because, you know, I just had to make sure that was true. And it said like a stay of execution, which is really a reprieve, isn't it? It also said it's a remission. It's a suspension, a respite, a pardon, acquittal. And I liken it, a reprieve is a reprieve from my mind. It's a reprieve from me having to figure it out. It's where my faith starts to come forward and I start believing in something other than my conclusion about something. That is my fourth step. Okay? Fearless moral inventory. I've been going against all of these morals as I face this. What do we got going here? Ooh.